It's Jory. Welcome back.
Hey, it's Abby. Welcome to another episode of Two Kosh Girls. This week, we're going to start with talking about Jory's many vacations that I'm very jealous of.
Oh my God. Thank you. I appreciate that.
What the hell is going on?
So I just went on a ski trip, Shabbaton. I haven't been on a Shabbaton in 7 years. So it was super, super fun. We went to Vermont, check that off the list. We started off with skiing. It was with MJE, Manhattan Jewish Experience. I love them. They're on the Upper West Side. If you have any questions, let me know. And we went skiing on Friday. Weather was horrible, but I did it. And then it was freezing. It was freaking freezing. We're in Vermont, okay? I'm on the ski lift. First of all, Saul and I took shots on the ski lift, which was super fun. We got some fireball, took some shots on our first way down. So got it, you know, felt a little warm in the heart. But
is that safe?
No, it's not safe. Okay. And we didn't have we literally could have fell off.
Yes. Saul and Jory should not be your life coaches. Anything you hear about this trip, do not try this at home.
No, we're just all about having fun. I know. It was Saul's idea, so we can blame him. But it was good. I went down a few times, didn't really fall so much. But then there was a point where I just got so cold. And this is going to sound sad/crazy after speaking about this. I went on my final lift, up the mountain, and then I started crying because I was so cold.
I've done that. On a hike in South America, I was so cold that I cried.
I know. And then my tears were stuck to my face because it was so freaking freezing. And then I was like, no more skiing for a while.
Did you make new friends?
I made so many friends, literally so many friends. It was super fun. I'm not going to share the names, but definitely made a lot of friends. A few guys hit on me, you know, still got it.
They still got it. I might be.
Oh, well.
I'm cuffed. Sorry. The ginger over there is my boyfriend.
I know. It's like Archie. And then people were like, you guys are touching a lot. And I'm like, yeah, we're dating. And
they didn't know. It's so funny. I think when you're into someone, you don't even realize the body language that you're that everyone else is
very
seeing.
Different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we did that. And then the last day, I did not want to ski, so I went snowshoeing, and that was super fun. I just hiked in the snow.
Oh, that's what that is? I thought it was I wasn't sure if it was something related to snow tubing or okay.
No, it's you wear this shoe that looks like a tennis racket and you walk through the snow. But it was fun. Honestly, it was really fun. I got good views. I got good pics. That's the one that's on our Instagram. Yeah.
I would have been done whatever that was, the hike part. Skiing is not good for my thighs. Yeah.
I am going to Austin this weekend. So we're finally getting one other city off the list. Check. Keep you posted. We're going to do 20 somethings Austin as we're obsessed with that show. Keep you posted, Abby.
Which character would you want to be? If you could be any of the cast and just do everything that they did on the show while you're in Austin.
Yeah, right? Well, the fashion designer. I forgot her name.
Oh, Isha.
Isha. She's super cute.
So you have to start selling all your clothes and you already have a Jewish boyfriend.
Oh, that's true. So that's pretty what
halfway there.
I know. I'm so excited. And what else? Let's see. Anything going on with you, Abby? I have more to share, but I want you to speak.
That's why I was I just want to live through you, vicariously through you.
Okay.
Super Bowl Sunday is coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. So in Israel, okay. I don't even like football that much. But I always make a big deal out of the Super Bowl just cause I'm a patriot. I for that one night a year, I care about football and all the ads and everything. So I think in when we were in college, together, we had a hotel room with through a friend that we had. Was that a remember?
Okay, oh my god, yeah, 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 I remember that.
Yeah, and it was really fun. Like, just the, like, hotel room sounds like something happened there. Nothing happened there. It was just, like, really social and fun. And, like, just, like, endless amounts of food. So, in Israel, because we're 7 hours ahead, you have to wait till, like, midnight. So, I bought a ticket for this social space things for, like, internationals. Like, 50 shekel to just do it together and, you know, that's pretend cute. That we're in America. But really, yeah, I'm not even taking off from work the next day. I'm just going to drink a lot of beer and have a lot of hot dogs and wings and, you know, yes. whatever Americans do on that special day. So yeah, so that's a big event that's coming up. And I've also been going to a lot more cultural events. I went to a play this week in Hebrew called Bachelors and Bachelorettes, which is, oh, yeah.
Oh, like, I love that. Yeah, that sounds perfect. It was
like a really chaotic comedy with like a message at the end. But it's good because like they provide the subtitles in English and in Russian for like a lot of the times in shows here, and the whole time, like every time there was a complicated word in Hebrew, I would look up. But yeah, it's a good way to improve your Hebrew for sure, even though like I'm pretty confident in it, but like when there's a big ass word. So yeah, it's I've been out and about and not getting a lot of sleep as per usual.
Oh my gosh, that sounds like super fun. Falling
asleep. Yeah, sometimes falling asleep at work, but that's fine.
Like, I've seen your coffee. Instagrams where someone literally takes a picture of you sleeping in the day.
Oh yeah.
I can't believe you do that.
I know. I have to
stop. Glad that your company is so chill with that. If my company saw that I was sleeping on the job.
I mean, you know, so,
I know, like, it's not all the time.
A little bit. What?
Yeah. I know it's not all the time.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's so yeah, it's been chill. I haven't been traveling around America like you, but you know, it's just been like routine and everything.
Good. That's how it should be. That's comfortable. Yeah. Awesome. So let's get into who we have today. We have someone amazing. Her name is Karen Cinnamon. We're going to chat with her very soon. So stay tuned and plugged in to the pod.
Guys, we're back with Karen Cinnamon, who is the founder and editor of Smashing the Glass, a Jewish wedding media platform for brides-to-be. She's also a Jewish lifestyle brand expert and podcast host of Your Jewish Life, Your Way. She's all about being confident in our Jewish identity and embracing Jewish traditions and rituals without having to compromise life's everyday hustle of the 21st century. Her motto is less Jewish guilt, more Jewish joy, which is definitely something we could stand by. Hi, Karen. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Hi, it's so great to be here. I'm really excited.
Yay. Us too. Wow, you have done so much. It's amazing. We're very inspired. But let's first talk about your upbringing. So did you grow up in England? Did you grow up religious, observant? Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, I grew up in London, born in London, grew up in London. I had an Israeli mother. Born in Israel, but moved to London in the 70s, where she met my dad and never went back to Israel. And then my dad is like an Ashkenazi, gentle kind of guy. So it's kind of, I had that really two interesting influences in my upbringing, the sort of crazy Israeli mom and the gentle English dad, but, you know, Jewish. We had beautiful Jewish traditions growing up, Friday night dinner, but I was definitely felt more connected to the Israeli influence, the Israeli side. We'd spend every summer in Israel with my family. They've got an enormous family in Israel, lots of cousins, aunts, uncles, grandparents, and it's just such a big part of who I am, the Israeli side. So I'd say almost that was my biggest influence growing up. That sort of overshadowed growing up in sort of Jewish Northwest London, which is sort of the Jewish area of London. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
Cool. I'm also, my dad's an American Ashkenaz guy and my mom's Persian Israeli. So it's just cool to know, you know, best of both worlds. It's really exciting.
Definitely best of both. Love them both.
And you grew up like, I mean, I don't want to use labels, but did you grow up modern Orthodox, traditional?
I would say a sort of modern traditional, if you know what I mean. Like, we never had anything shoved down our throats apart from good Israeli food, you know. it was my mom being Israeli, you know, I don't know how much you know about Israeli Jewish culture, but they don't go to synagogue so much. You just more sort of feel Jewish, do Jewish things. And that's sort of what we grew up with. My dad, on the other hand, he did want to go to synagogue. He did want to do those things. But as I say, because I sort of felt Jewish at heart, it felt inside, we were sort of led to make our own decisions, but tradition was always at the center, and the values, Jewish values of sort of family and togetherness and kindness and community. It was more about values and traditions rather than sort of rules and shoulds, which kind of led me
to what. That's how it should be. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for us.
Yeah, amazing. I want to do that eventually in my life.
Start now.
yes, I am. I'm starting now as we speak. All right. So you have a lot of brands that you work on, but let's talk about Smashing the Glass. So what did you hope to accomplish starting this online platform for Jewish brides to be? And then let's also explain it a little bit too. If
you can. Sure. It's a great question and a great one to start with, because Smashing the Glass is sort of what started everything. You know, that led to Your Jewish Life and the podcast and all of the good stuff. So why did I start a Jewish wedding blog, Instagram, YouTube called Smashing the Glass? Well, it all started when I was planning my own wedding back in 2013. I was a sort of go-getting career woman in London, one of the coolest cities in the world. But there was nothing that talked to me as a modern Jewish woman planning my wedding. You know, I wanted the traditions, but I also wanted it to be fun and creative and put my own stamp on it. And there was nothing, not a blog, not an Instagram account, not a magazine, nothing. Yeah. So as it happened, I was pregnant just after I got married. I thought, okay, on my maternity leave, I'm going to keep my brain ticking with this blog project. Like back then when I was planning my wedding, it was all about wedding blogs, even more than Instagram. So I thought I'll start a small blog. The heart of the blog will be real Jewish weddings, because that's what I loved looking at when I was planning weddings, sort of real weddings, how people did it. I wanted to steal their ideas. And I was just like, where are all the real Jewish weddings? So I started Smashing the Glass. I didn't want the word Jewish in it, because I just thought, if you know, you know. If you don't, it's not the right platform for you.
Best title. I love it.
And so that's how it started, as a sort of small project on maternity leave. And then what happened was, it really took off really quite quickly, so much so that when I had my baby, I was like, when can I finish, like, putting the diapers on and everything? I want to get onto the blog. You know, it was my other baby. It really took over my maternity leave, and equally advertisers were approaching me as well, because it was so needed and such a great audience, Jewish couples. So it quickly grew into my full-time business. Previously, I was a brand and digital designer. So it took over and I loved every minute of it. And within a year, it was my full-time business. And then a couple of years later, it was, you know, the biggest Jewish wedding platform in the world. And we're now a team of five with offices in New York and London. And yeah, that's sort of Smashing the Glass. And then we started a brides club as well as part of Smashing the Glass, which led to my work with sort of community and Jewish life and stuff like that, which I can extend if you want me to.
What's the club?
So as I say, Smashing the Glass started in 2013, and it was great, but it was really big. Like, we have, you know, 100,000 visitors a month. It's wonderful. But if you want sort of personal attention on your particular wedding, it doesn't really work. It's more of a publication or an Instagram account or whatever. So I started a club for brides. It's a paid club called Brides Club, where you pay $29 a month. And you get advice, guidance, resources, and most importantly, a community of other Jewish brides-to-be, and also Jewish. So we have brides in there who are maybe not Jewish, but marrying someone Jewish, who really want to kind of get their head around everything. And we're just a really wonderful, warm, inclusive community of brides-to-be and newlyweds. So the newlyweds stay on and help the brides-to-be. And it's just a lovely thing. So that started off in 2018, and it's really taken off. And to be honest, that sort of became my passion, much more so than sort of the big, you know, the big readership. It was more about this amazing community and everyone helping each other and me hosting it and facilitating it. But it's just been amazing. And then that led to what came next, which I can talk about when you're ready.
It sounds like a little Jewish sorority, like post-college. It sounds amazing. If that is that what you're going for, like a sisterhood?
Well, the thing about the Brides Club is I started it off, like I say, to sort of really help and drill down with all the dramas and the overwhelm and all the millions of opinions you have when you're planning a wedding. But what I didn't realize it would turn into was this, like you say, like a sisterhood. And it's because you're meeting other Jewish women going through a similar life phase as you. And it's really hard to, like, what I would have done to have met that community when I was planning my wedding, you know. And you've got lots in common. You're probably, you know, if you're not a similar age, you're going through a similar life stage, you know, planning a mm-hmm. wedding, maybe want to start a family soon, all of that stuff. And so all these incredible friendships are made. And I realized that what people were actually finding in Brides Club was that sense of belonging and identity and community that you just don't find in 2022, you know, in real life, or even certainly not online, because so often we're made to feel kind of othered, whether it's online or in real life, like just like I was when I was planning my wedding, there was nothing for me. So yeah, it was an amazing experience creating Brides Club. And now, you know, a few years down the line, it's still going strong.
That's awesome. So this is kind of, it kind of has like the decor, it will help you with like decor, caterers, in a sense, like
vendor recommendations.
Okay.
You get discounts in Brides Club as well, because we negotiate all kinds of discounts for our Brides Club members. And then once a month, I sit down with everyone and we talk through problems, issues, maybe things that you don't really want your friends or family to maybe know that you're thinking or talking about, but we can discuss it and help you move forward with that particular obstacle in your wedding planning. And also we really encourage you to put your stamp on your day. So often with Jewish weddings, people think there's a right way to get married or a right way to have a Jewish wedding. And what we say is, yes, you know, the traditions are gorgeous. Include the ones that speak to you, but make them your own. And, you know, have a chuppah made of balloons if you're obsessed with, you know, doing something different or whatever, you know, make it your own, because nobody wants to go to the same wedding every Sunday. They want to see your personalities at the wedding.
How did you make your own wedding your own? Was it everything you imagined it to be?
Well, bear in mind, I didn't have the wonderful resource of Smashing the Glass or Brides Club when I was planning my wedding. In fact, like everything I do now is what I wish I'd had. Like that's how I create things. It's like, I wish I'd had that when I was planning my wedding. But for my wedding, we would have got married in Israel, but my husband at the time had his 97-year-old grandmother who we desperately wanted to be at the wedding. So we kept it in London, but we got married somewhere called the Wallace Collection, which is a beautiful art gallery. And there's a big courtyard in the middle, covered courtyard in the middle. So it had that indoor outdoor feeling. And everything we did had a personal touch. So for instance, the table numbers, instead of just saying table 3 or table 8, at each table was the number and then a picture of each of us at that age. So table 3 had a picture of me age 3 and my husband age 3.
Oh, that's
3.
Cute.
And table 13 had our, you know, bar mitzvah pictures. So, you know, there was all sorts of things like that. We did handwritten notes for everyone at their table settings. We knew we wouldn't have time to talk to everyone or the whole evening, so this way people would know how much it meant to us to have them at our wedding. So yeah, all kinds of little touches like that. I'll send you guys the link to my wedding and you can put it in the show notes so people can see it.
I'm like, love weddings. I'm dating someone, not engaged, but it's definitely something I think about more and more. And what I was thinking this is something I just realized when I saw someone else have a wedding like this. You know how mostly during the brachas, men usually say the brachas?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I'm going to have women have people that are like, you know, women do them too. It doesn't always have to be rabbis. And I think it's still valid.
Absolutely. It's got to be meaningful, you know?
Yeah.
I want it to be
different. Obviously, that's what you're doing. You want to be different.
Yeah, you don't want to have a Jewish wedding by numbers, just like, yeah, tick box, tick box. So, you know, I encourage, for the 7 blessings, you can either do it the traditional way or you can call up 7 different people that mean something to you to say the prayer, either in English or Hebrew.
Yeah.
I love that idea, Jory. That is awesome.
Yeah, because it's, you know, when you see all the rabbis go off, it's like, let's bring some female life into it, and it would mean so much more to me. Obviously, I'm thinking too, I'm like, who are all these rabbis?
And that's the most important thing. So many people with their wedding plans, they worry, but if I do this, like, what will everyone think, or what will the rabbi think, or what will my mother-in-law think? And it's like, you cannot plan a wedding being a people pleaser, because then everyone will be pleased, but you'll be the most miserable person on this planet.
No. Yeah, that's your day to be selfish, I feel like.
Totally.
How have you, how many weddings have you been invited to, do you feel like, because of this?
Not that many, because the thing is, I'm the sort of, I'm the, you know, I am not the center of these plans. I'm not, you know, I'm just trying to help. Yeah. So, you know, I've just funny enough been invited to one, this coming weekend, actually, at one of our Brides Club members, but it doesn't happen a lot. And sadly, I can't attend because I'm taking my kids to see the equivalent of Dancing with the Stars. So,
sounds fun too.
It does. But yeah, no, it's very flattering when I get invited. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. So, what would you say are the top tips you have for Jewish brides to be getting married this year, just in general?
Yeah. Well, like I say, the number one thing is, don't listen to all the opinions, because you'll end up having a nervous breakdown, because everyone's got an opinion on something. Pick, you know, one or two people whose opinions really count. Like, it could be a friend, it could be a relative, and obviously, you know, your goes without saying, you and your partner should make the decisions together, but beyond you and your partner, disregard all the other opinions. Just disregard them. And when someone says something to you, you can say, thank you for that, I'll bear it in mind, and then just disregard it so they feel heard. I'd also say that, you know, take time to focus on the spiritual and sacred side of the wedding as well. I think so often that gets lost in 2022 with all the, you know, the froth and the decor and the dress and the fun. And actually, there's so many beautiful spiritual traditions and just the sacred, you know, moments to really focus on those. So those would be my two top tips.
So we really have to keep our head on our shoulders during that time. I feel like it's a whirlwind of just craziness and chaos.
It is. And yeah, that's why with the Brides Club, we're here to help. And I saw that help was needed, you know, in a more kind of more than just an Instagram account and a blog and YouTube and all that stuff. So yeah, that's exactly why.
Okay, amazing. So moving away from smashing the glass, we want to hear more about your podcast. What's the main focus, and that came after smashing the glass, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So what happened was, it really one led to the other very naturally. So the Brides Club the brides loved it so much that they were saying, Karen, we don't want to get married because then we'll have to leave Brides Club. And I'm like, they said, will you start something for us for life after the wedding? And I was like, okay, if you guys want it, I'll start something really small. So I started something. At that time, it was just for newlyweds. Now it's for all Jewish women. But at the time, back in 2019, it was just for the newlyweds, kind of like a follow-on from the Brides Club community. And it was called Smashing Life, sort of connected to Smashing the Glass, Smashing Life. And it was great. And it was just a place to, again, connect with like-minded women. Because I think when you create strong, resilient friendships, Jewish friendships, it is just such a powerful thing to have in your life that can further you in so many aspects of life. And that was my goal with Smashing Life, was the goal of Smashing Life is to take all these online friendships offline in a way. Create friendships and just support, and we have masterclasses and things like that. So that was lovely. But then 2020 in the pandemic, and suddenly all my audience, because we have so many, you know, although it was focused on weddings at the time, we have more people from walks of life that love smashing the glass. They wanted more, like they wanted online community themselves. And I was like, hang on a sec, I think Smashing Life needs to be open to more than just newlyweds. We need to open it up to all Jewish women who are looking for, you know, that support, that connection, that sense of connection and identity and belonging and, you know, all the wonderful things that we create in Smashing Life. So that was sort of the first step. And then I realized that if I'm having this kind of paid membership community, I want to sort of front-facing aspect to it, because otherwise no one knows about it. Because before, the only way you could get into it was through the Brides Club into Smashing Life. So we started the Instagram account, Your Jewish Life, which is short for Your Jewish Life Your Way, because Smashing the Glass is all about your Jewish wedding your way. And it just blew up. It just took off so quickly. I cannot tell you.
I love that.
Everybody wants this sort of you know, a place where you feel understood and, you know, as a young Jewish woman. I mean, we try to, our content is meant to be for women, but obviously we have some men as well, but we really are trying to talk to women just like you two, who just, you know, feeling Jewish in a non-Jewish world. Here's a place on Instagram where you just feel great and uplifted, and we try and focus on Jewish joy as well, and just what it feels like to be Jewish today, you know. So that was the Instagram account, and that just went mental. Back, I think, when was that, back in, we started it just over a year ago, already almost 30,000 followers. Like, it's just
really, oh my gosh,
I'm telling you, there's just such a
mazel tov. That's amazing.
So about last summer, I thought, we need more than the Instagram account. You can see how my brain works. It's like, we need the next thing. We need the next thing. So let's do the podcast to get the message out in a different medium, in a different way. And also for me to be able to talk to some of the people that I think would really influence my audience as well. So, you know, the guests I have are also maybe more expert in certain areas on how to live your Jewish life your way. And again, it's just a place to spread that message of you do you, you know, you do you, lead an authentic life, drop the shoulds of your Jewish identity that don't speak to you, and like really lean into the things that you love and go for it, and, you know, feel Jewish with a big smile on your face.
Thank you.
Where I was talking about, like, you know, finding what we connect to in Judaism and not, like, you know, sticking to all the rules and everything. I mean, like, if you don't relate to some of the rules then, and it doesn't bring, like, meaning to your life, then find a different way to connect with Judaism.
And you don't necessarily just want to do what your parents did. You want to take the bits that you loved, and then you maybe want to make it your own as an adult without thinking, am I doing it right? Should I not do this? And just, you know,
making it yours.
Jewish, unapologetically Jewish, you know?
Yes. And I hate being in that box sometimes. And it's so important to just be confident. It's harder. It's easier said than done. But to be confident and you understand what you're doing Jewishly, and that it's okay, and you don't need to feel like you're judged. It was something, I think I realized that a little bit more when I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and there's so many Jews here. In the beginning, I kind of felt like, in a sense, like, I need to be in this group or this group. But then I was kind of like, let me live my life, let me do what I like doing. And no one cared. And I didn't feel like, you know, as silly as it sounds, like, I started to wear pants, but a lot of people didn't wear pants. And like, if you wear pants, you're associated differently, but I'm like, whatever. And I think you just got to own that, and then you'll be happier. And that's totally what you're doing. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's something nice that you say, like, about the different groups, like belonging to maybe a particular group that you really identify with. But sometimes either we just don't feel we belong to any particular group, or maybe we find it a bit cliquey or a bit judgmental or whatever it is. And, you know, there's so many ways to step in and start your own Shabbat dinner. It's like, maybe host a Shabbat dinner where everyone has to wear pants or whatever.
Right? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, invite all the like-minded people in the neighborhood and, like, start your own movement, you know, the Jewish pants movement.
There's so many more people that I think want to do things like that and get out of the box, but it's hard. When it's scary to feel that you'll have some people with you.
Yeah. And again, it's like the judgment, isn't it? It's the afraid of being judged, you know, and even by ourselves, like, we judge ourselves. Am I not doing it wrong? You know, we've all heard the label, like, a bad Jew, a good Jew. And it's just, there's no right way to be Jewish. It's got to speak to you, and it's got to be joyful as well, you know?
I mean, have you gotten any negative feedback with that message?
So sometimes the wrong people end up on my Instagram account. So
and then they go off and off and off.
Yeah. So, for instance, I did a reel recently. I don't know if you saw it. Maybe you'll link to it in the show notes. It's. Do you remember the reel where it was like, start a riot, start a riot? It was an audio called Start a Riot. And I did a reel where I said, you know, I'm still Jewish even if I don't keep kosher. And then they said, start a riot. Like, is it, you know, what do I care if you judge me? I'm still Jewish if I don't fast on Yom Kippur. I'm still Jewish if I don't make a big Friday night dinner every week.
Yeah.
And it was as simple as that. And people loved it. They felt seen. They felt like it's okay not to be this perfect inverted commas Jew. And because it was so loved and it got so much engagement, I think it fell into the wrong hands as well. So then I started getting a lot of kind of male religious guys, always guys, by the way, saying, you know, you're a disgrace to the Jewish community. I mean, really horrible things that I don't want to talk about on the podcast by fellow Jewish, more religious Jews. But to be fair, like it's quite rare when I, you know, when I get those judgments. And you know what? It doesn't make me feel anything other than, you know, I'm not going to please everyone, a bit like our Jewish identity in our weddings. Like, we're not going to please everyone. It's okay. You don't have to please everyone, but speak to your people and speak to them hard, you know, go right in, which is what I like to do. So I am going to, you know, upset some people, but you're always going to upset people. So you might as well do the stuff that's meaningful for you, because someone's going to be upset about something.
Yeah.
100%. So what's your favorite thing about being Jewish?
Oh, I always ask other people that question, but what about me? So the first thing that springs to mind when you ask me that question is definitely like the emphasis on family and that value of mishpacha, family. I'm such a family person, and I love that our culture is so focused on togetherness and family first. And I think that's probably my favorite thing about being Jewish, you know. My particular family, my extended family, it's just all about the Jewish values, you know, the Friday night dinners that we sit down to, the little traditions we do together. So I'd say the value of family in Jewish culture is my favorite thing. And then also the value of community, kechila, you know, that when you meet someone like us, we've never met in real life, and I'm talking to you and I just feel so connected and at home, rather than if I was talking to two non-Jewish people. It's just the way it is. And it's just amazing. It's that sense of connection. It's connection. It's like there's something between us. There's like a umbilical cord of some sort, you know?
We're
just connected. So I'd say those two things. I mean, there's so many more. There's like challah.
There's so many. I feel about the same thing with Shabbos and the week. Like, I just love being able to disconnect and have that family time, because I grew up not religious, but we did do Shabbos, but it wasn't like every single Friday. And now it's been like every single Friday. And when I have that time to just have with my family, like my parents, it's so nice. You get to talk about, there's so much you can talk about. You feel like you're so much closer. That's so important.
Just those rock solid, you know, that feeling of a rock solid foundation that you come back to, you know, whatever life takes you, you come back to that.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're not being a podcaster, mom, Jew, or Jewish influencer, what do you like to do on your free time, or what do you enjoy doing in general besides work? Yeah, I know it's work, but it's also like, I know it's your passion.
Yeah, you're spot on. I was gonna say like making reels. Like, I love making reels, but that's not allowed. So in my free time, we live near a beautiful part of London called Hampstead Heath, and I love going for outdoor walks. It's like, it feels like being in the countryside, even though we're in pretty central London. So we go on walks for Hampstead Heath, either just me and my husband will go, or obviously with my kids. I love doing that. And like, really, this sounds like a bit pathetic, but I just kind of like eating really nice food that my husband makes and watching trashy TV. Like, seriously, yes. Like, I do so much in my day-to-day with my work, you know, travel and you know, fun things like this, and like work, and then all the kids stuff, picking up, you know, and all that. And it's like, in my free time, I just want to totally zone out and be with my husband and my kids and good friends.
Yes. So in terms of trashy TV, what do you like watching?
So I love Below Deck.
Oh.
What's that? I haven't heard of that.
Gotta love Bravo.
Okay, Dory knows so much more about reality TV than I do.
I don't know it that well, but I hear it's good.
It's about sort of so you it's about the crew that work. It's reality TV. The crew that work on these massive, multi-million dollar super yachts. Yeah. So you kind of follow the reality of the crew, and then also it's really fun seeing all the different guests that charter the boat. You know, these millionaires, and it's just trashy
drama.
TV.
It's good. It's trashy TV, but it's good. It's,
and it's like, you know, you see the, you know, beautiful parts of the world, and then there's you know, the crew are having love affairs, and then something goes wrong. It's just great. I love it.
Good.
What's the Jewish community like in London? And I've never been there. Jory, have you been?
I have, but I didn't do anything Jewish, actually.
Yeah, it's quite like, I'm not surprised that, you know, you say that, because I think it's quite hard to penetrate. I think it's quite a tight-knit community. It's focused in Northwest London. So first of all, if you don't live in Northwest London, which I do, it's very hard to meet Jewish people. And then even if you do, it is quite cliquey. And it really wasn't until I got into adulthood that I made some really kind of great Jewish friends, people that I like, rather than sort of who I was lumped with because I went to a youth group or because those were the only Jewish kids at school or whatever. So I'd say it's quite a traditional kind of community. We don't have like really cool JCCs like you have in New York. We don't have all the cool stuff happening in Tel Aviv. I've lived in both New York and Tel Aviv. And I think for Jewish community, like, you got, obviously Tel Aviv is the place to be. And then New York is just so, there's so many different strands you can kind of connect with. Whereas in London, it's a little bit like you're in or you're out, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And like I say, it's only sort of the confidence of adulthood that I've picked and chosen sort of the Jewish friends and families that sort of we want to be hanging out with, rather than like you either have to go to some Jewish thing or not, you know?
Got it. Next time I'm in London, hopefully will be soon. I will definitely let you know.
Absolutely. Equally, I come to New York. Well, I used to before the pandemic quite a lot. So I'll also let you know.
Amazing. Okay. So final question. So where do you see, you know, your brand growing? Where would you like it to grow? Because we talked about your evolution of Instagram and a podcast, a first blog, but like, where do you want to grow it now, or are you happy with everything?
So yeah, I'm always looking for ideas. I'm a creative, and I'm also always looking for ideas of how can we get that message wider, or how can I reach every, you know, young Jew on the planet, Jewish woman, I should say. So you know, for us at the moment, our big project for 2022 is creating a journal, so a tangible product called the Jewish Joy Journal. So it's going to be an actual book that you can buy that takes sort of everything I'm talking about online to a sort of tangible journal that you can write every day. So it's going to be focused on gratitude and goals. And it'll be a 6-month journal, and we can do it together either inside the Smashing Life community or you can do it on your own. But it's just a tool to feel that Jewish joy daily and then move you to where you want to be in life on a sort of bigger scale. And so it's really exciting kind of taking it to that level. So yeah, watch out for that later on in the year. It's coming out.
Awesome. It's crazy because I just bought like a daily journal for myself personally, just to like work through things and write things out. But there's nothing Jewish.
No, it's nothing.
And that's
Jewish.
Wow, I love it. Because I feel like there would be, but there's not. So that's amazing that you're starting
really
this.
Pulling through for the niche market that are the Jewish people.
What I'll do, I'll be sure to send you to a copy when it comes out, okay? So you can enjoy it.
Thank you.
And you also that. Mentioned your Jewish challenge, is that a part of that?
Oh yeah, so that's really great. You remind me of that. So that is something that's happening probably actually as when your audience get this episode, they can sign up to this really cool challenge I'm doing. It's a free 7-day challenge. We get started on February the 28th for 7 days. It's a free challenge called the Jewish Connection Challenge. And it's all about getting more connected to yourself, your identity, and those around you. And it's going to be hosted by me, but there's going to be hundreds of other cool, like-minded Jewish women in there to sort of make new friends and just feel sort of you can live your best Jewish life in 2022 by the end of it. You'll feel more connected to all the things that are important to you. And you'll also make some great Jewish friends that are sort of like-minded, maybe in your area as well. So you can sign up for that at yourjewishlife.co.com with a cool okay. kids with yourjewishlife.co/connection and love your audience to join in and you too as well.
Yes, I'm typing in right now. I'm gonna do it.
Yeah, hopefully it's good for both our time zones.
It is. It's like I'm going to do a little teach every day for 10, 15 minutes and then set a daily task that you can do anytime. And then there's prizes as well for everyone that completes all the tasks. It's just going to be great fun. So yeah, it's good for any time zone.
I love it.
Amazing. So other than the challenge, where can our listeners find you on the socials, your website? Where can they find your stuff?
So if the best place to, I'm always kind of always completely and utterly obsessed with Instagram and our Your Jewish Life account. So at Your Jewish Life, I would love anyone listening to drop me a DM and say hi. If you're a bride to be, at Smash in the Glass is where you need to be. There's no other place better for you on the internet, or smashintheglass.com is the blog. But yeah, Your Jewish Life is my spiritual home on Instagram.
Okay, amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Karen. It's been so nice speaking with you. You're so influential and inspiring, and we hope to try to take that on and bring it to the city and to Tel Aviv.
Let's do something together. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'd love to.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And everyone go follow Karen on Insta.